Welcome to the Unscripted.
I thought you changed it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, change it on me. I know this is sabotage, Eric. Don't fuck me. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your glorified host, Daniel Glory Hall Hummer. I'm here with my nearest and dearest friend, Eric. We also have my brother, Doug, here. Steve will be joining us soon. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Pretty good.
It's Friday.
Friday. We're in good spirits.
Friday.
We're in good spirits. It shouldn't be that long of a show tonight because there's no windbag.
Tonight we will be doing a show retrospective on a Raw. So that'll be exciting. It's going to be the September 22nd episode of Raw 1997. Big moment here, obviously. The stunner to Vince, and we'll get through all that. You want to get some plugs out of the way first before we get going?
Sure. Do you want me to take a long time on these plugs so we can try to get Steve's time to come on?
No.
All right. Fair enough. All right, listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google. I believe they're on Spotify as well. All right. Listen to us every Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted as we are part of the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. Next week, big show, we will be reviewing the PWI 500 for this year. The magazine comes out on Tuesday. I'm sure many of you have probably already seen who number one is. But we're going to review it, and we're going to have special guests on with us next week, scheduled to join us. Sam Houston will be back here. Scott Casey's going to be back on, as will Rod Price. I will be confirming with all of them on Monday just to make sure. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Also, join us on Sundays, usually around 5 o'clock, 5:30 Eastern time for the Top Tier Podcast. Also here on Blog Talk Radio / you know the drill. And this week's tier list is going to be the superhero movie one, right?
Yeah.
All right. And we promise we will be on the air this week. Mine and Daniel's gambling problem will not take over.
We will be finally doing the whole of our superhero kind of miniseries on that show. We'll put a nice little bow on it with superhero movies.
What color is the bow going to be?
Pink.
Okay. That would be kind of weird because I don't think any superhero really has pink on their costume.
Really? No, there are some.
Okay.
Hawk and Dove.
Yeah, but Hawk has the pink on his costume because he's actually secretly gay.
No, he's not.
You have your opinion on it.
You got anything else?
The round two of the Jeopardy tournament will be kicking off probably week after next. I'm still working on the questions now. Got some big things planned for that. Obviously, the new bonus that have been added, where if somebody sweeps the category, they can, in round one, they get 500-point bonus. If they sweep a category in round two, they get a 1,000-point bonus. Going to make it real fun, real competitive, and hopefully blow the people out of the water that I don't want to advance in this thing. So we will be very soon starting a Patreon, and I know we all have plenty of ideas for the Patreon. Once we know exactly what the hell we're doing, we'll let everybody know.
Yep.
Yep. Is that it? I have a new show coming out soon called Controlled Chaos. There's a lot more details that we will entail. We're going to share more on the next few episodes. My goal is to maybe do an episode next Saturday. We're all going to talk behind the scenes about that, and that should be a good addition to the network. It won't be weekly, but it'll be a nice little thing. Anything else, Doug?
Oh, the football show.
Football show.
On Tuesdays. Me, Kalina, and Douglas.
Yeah. That's going to be on either Tuesdays or Wednesdays here on blogtalkradio.com. So it's everything unscripted. It's called Hard Hits. We usually,
depending on our schedule,
previous week's football, and then we preview the next week.
Yep. Yeah. Fun. We argue. Kind of.
Yeah, we argue when Clint pays attention to what the fuck we're saying.
So, all right, we gave him 6 minutes, so let's get into it.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
September 22nd, 1997 is a memorable night of Raw for many reasons. Doug, before we get into the episode itself, give us a little backdrop of what's going on. Some of the storylines. Where are we at here?
All right, just in the WWF, right?
Or do you No. WWF.
Okay. All right, so in the WWF, you're coming off of, especially around this time, 2 days prior, the WWF held a pay-per-view called One Night Only. It was in the UK. It took place in the UK, and it was available in the UK on pay-per-view. You know how like they would do the Insurrection and Rebellion like for years after. This was the start of their UK deal, and a lot of it like it wouldn't be available for pay-per-view on the in the States, but it would become available on video cassette. Yeah. I mean, and if you actually want to, it's actually on the network. I've never actually seen it, though.
Oh, really?
No. I've seen two matches off there, and that's just because they were included on DVDs.
Okay.
But, so, they're coming off that, and, you know, there was a lot of controversy there, because the main event was the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, defending the European title against the Heartbreak Homo, I mean, Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hey.
Well, around that time, I'm pretty sure you could question whether or not he was sucking sausage.
Jesus.
Thank God.
I'm being serious, though, unfortunately. And that was the main event. And Davey, because it was England, was supposed to go over. Because around that time, they really believed in making, you know, that town's hero or that country's hero, you know, making him look strong. But Shawn Michaels, being the whiny little bitch that he had become known for being, had the finish changed. Not because he felt like he needed to go over, not because he wanted heat, but because he found out that him and Davey Boy were having an affair with the same woman.
I know that you told this story.
Steve?
Hey.
Hey. All right.
Hi, Steve.
You're just in time. I'm giving a little bit of backstory here.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, so this Shawn Michaels basically had the finish change of this match at One Night Only because Davey Boy was also, for everybody that doesn't know, and I've already kind of told the story, Shawn Michaels was having an affair with Sonny, Sammy Sitch.
Yeah,
but Shawn wasn't the only one that Sonny was cheating on Chris Candido with.
Yeah.
Davey Boy was another. Shawn found out about it. Shawn didn't feel like being, you know, sperm buddies with with Davey Boy. So he basically went to Vince and pitched the bullshit that I got to go over.
Yeah.
And Vince basically, because he was already falling out of love with the Hart family anyway, because I think Brett was already negotiating to go to WCW.
Right.
Said, all right, it sounds like good shit, pal. So Shawn ended up going over. And they did this thing where, like, you know, they got major heel heat because Davey Boy was dedicating the match at One Night Only to his cancer-stricken sister, Tracy. And it was supposed to be like this touching moment and all that, because the show was actually to benefit like cancer research too.
Right.
And so anyway, so Sean goes over, Sean wins the European title. So you're coming off of that, like how big of a moment that is. And of course you also got the fact that coming off of SummerSlam, Steve Austin still had the neck injury, which, you know, is the reason why he was going nuts and all that.
Yeah.
He had the neck injury because Owen Hart botched the Tombstone Piledriver.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is Owen knew that it wasn't safe. And Austin had told, according to Austin's book,
yeah,
Austin had said, you know, because Owen's like, hey, I'm in a tombstone. He goes, all right, so you're going to land on your knees like Undertaker, right? He goes, no, I'm going to land on my ass. He goes, Owen, that's not safe. He goes, oh, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. Owen, I'm not comfortable with it. He goes, oh, no, you'll be fine. Broken, and well, you know, messed up neck later. And there we go. So coming off of that, and then, of course, you know, you got other things going on, which we'll get into because it's all part of this episode. Coming off the Ground Zero pay-per-view and the fact that, you know, the Patriot and Vader were feuding with the Hart Foundation at the time. It was U.S. versus Canada.
Yeah.
It was really starting to come to light that Vince McMahon was actually the owner of the company because they were starting to talk about it more.
Were they?
Yeah. And they were knee-deep in the ratings war with WCW.
Yeah, they're still losing at this point.
Over on the other channel on this night, some, not necessarily iconic stuff, but some memorable stuff did happen on Nitro. Goldberg's debut, Disco Inferno somehow winning the TV title from Alex Wright. You know, stuff like that. But, I mean, it's nothing in comparison to what was going on here on this channel. And obviously, this is before the whole Montreal thing, but it's getting like they are starting to show more and more attitude. So this is kind of almost this is like the end of that new generation era.
Yeah.
And like you're starting to really get deep into the attitude era.
Well, yeah, because now they're being called Raw as War, right?
Yeah. Well, they started being called Raw as War when they went to 2 hours.
Okay.
So that was back in March.
Okay.
They had the intro and everything for it. And then the 9 o'clock hour, or was it not? Or the 9 o'clock hour was being called
Warzone, right?
Or no, because when they started it for 2 hours, they would actually start at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So they actually wanted to go head to head with Nitro.
Yeah.
So they would go, they would be called, the 8 o'clock, the first hour would be called, Raw's War. The second hour would be called Warzone.
Right.
So, and it would actually be listed like that in the paper too.
Really?
Yeah. It wouldn't be called Monday Night Raw. First hour would be Raw's War. Second hour would be Warzone.
Oh, cool.
So they were basically trying to be different. Now, around this time, they had gone back to 9 o'clock because they realized Nitro was still winning in the ratings, so what they wanted to do was put the Raw's War up against the last hour of Nitro, because Nitro was only going until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then they would run unopposed.
Warzone.
Warzone would run unopposed.
Yeah.
Well, Nitro figured out what the fuck they were doing, so they went to 3 hours in January. It worked for a little while, but eventually Raw would get the upper hand.
Yeah. All right. So
they were live, right?
For
it
this
was,
episode,
they were live at this time.
Here, which, by the way, Steve, just in case I didn't tell you, even though I think I did, we are reviewing the September 22nd, 1997 episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, you already told me.
Okay. Well, good.
And
but,
this was live, right, Doug?
Eric, this episode was live, but they were still doing the live 1 week and record, and or they were doing the live every other week thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So Vince is still on commentary here.
Correct.
With JR and
Kevin. Right.
Yeah.
We start out, you know, with the intro and everything, and the first match of the night is Ahmed Johnson and Rocky Maivia in the Intercontinental Title
Tournament.
This is the quarterfinals.
Right. It's the first round because it was an eight-man tournament.
First round, Stevie, recalling, looking back on this match, what are your thoughts? Ahmed and Rocky.
Well, it's amazing to look back and imagine that Maivia, who did not look anywhere near Ahmed's level in the match, would be Intercontinental Champion by January, while Ahmed would be on his way out of the company.
Yeah, interesting point.
Well, yeah, he makes a very interesting point because you got to remember just 15 months earlier than that. So rewinding, I almost said fast forwarding, you know, we're going back. Rewinding back to June of 1996, Ahmed Johnson was basically considered the future of this company.
Yeah, he was going to be the face.
He was going to be the face. They put the Intercontinental title on him because he had a great look.
Yeah.
He had a great look. His work, the only issue with his work is that he wasn't necessarily hurting other people. He was more hurting himself.
Yeah. Too many injuries.
Yeah.
Too many injuries. But even in the match against Rocky,
he gets hurt.
He got hurt because when they put the announce table together that night, they forgot to hammer in all the nails.
Yeah.
So there was a nail out of the table, and Ahmed put his hand there to try to help himself up, and the nail cut his hand.
Oh.
It was too many injuries, and then the fact. Well, first of all, he couldn't cut a promo. I mean, well, he could. It's just, unfortunately, he kind of mumbled a lot.
Yeah.
It's like certain people that we know.
Yeah, he wasn't really a talker.
No, he wasn't. But he was a powerhouse, and he had that Pearl River Plunge, which is a tiger bomb.
Yeah.
So, and it looked cool. The Spine Buster, the Pearl River Plunge. Mm-hmm. He really didn't have to be in the ring that long.
No.
And you could tell when he was in the ring too long because the matches were dragged. But once he hit Spinebuster and the Pearl River Plunge, that's when everybody started to give a shit.
So that's the only thing he could do.
Would you say? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Eric. Well,
that's the only thing. Oh.
No, I was going to say, would you say he was like the Batista before Batista or Brock Lesnar?
You could put, I mean, yeah, him and Batista is a good comparison. Him and Batista is definitely a good comparison.
They're both big, buff, huge guys that are like a China doll, you know?
Right. All right, and Steve, what were you?
The Spinebuster.
What was that, Steve?
Well, the Pearl River Plunge and the Spinebuster is about the only moves Ahmed Johnson can do.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the bicycle kick, which a lot of people would know today is the brogue kick. But.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but that stuff he could do, he couldn't do a long match. And even the match here with Rocky, put your tongue back in your mouth. The match with Rocky, like, it was an okay match. I mean, everybody popped for it at the end when he hit the Pearl River Plunge on Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was over.
That just feels like a good match, those two in the ring together. You know, I mean, they didn't always have great matches. I do think they had some sort of chemistry.
This was their first of two matches I remember them having on television.
Yeah.
This one was a hell of a lot better than the second one that they had. But this was actually, the second one they had was actually just like a month before Ahmed left the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I'm going to toss it back to you, Doug. Do you think there is a chance that Ahmed, you know, do you think that he could have been the face of the company at some point?
I think the first thing that ruined his chances was the fact that he had to have, because the kidney operation was legit.
Yeah.
When he got kicked in the kidneys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of derailed things. Because he was all set. They were going to do a big match between him and Shawn Michaels on television.
Yeah.
He had won a battle royal. He was going to get the shot.
Yeah.
But then he had to go in for emergency surgery.
Well,
and had to have his kidney removed.
How?
Do you think, because the New Generation era was a little more athletic, do you think a guy like Ahmed didn't work because of the guys he was around, like the Bretts and the Owens and the Shawns, and it was the Rock even. It was more of a slender, lean type of work rate going on.
If he would have come around 5 years earlier,
yeah,
he would have been fine because that was like the era of the big men. If he would have come around 5 years earlier and as a heel.
Yeah.
I
mean, he was jacked.
He was jacked. He would have been the perfect opponent for Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or perfect opponent for Hogan and or for probably more for Savage, because I think Savage would bump for him a little more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he would have made a good opponent for Hogan. If Bad News Brown would have gotten jealous, but I mean, so if he would have been around 5 years earlier, he probably would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I can agree with that too. All right, so you move on. Austin does a little thing in the stands, right?
Right, because he's not supposed to technically be there because they have that. Owen Hart has that 100-yard restraining order on him, or 100 feet or whatever.
Yeah,
he can't come in within 100 feet of him.
And then they show a quick vignette about basically explaining how Michaels beat Davey.
Right.
And then we're presented with Vince and Undertaker in the ring. And then Shawn Michaels comes in. Set the scene.
They're hyping Hell in a Cell.
Right.
It's going to be at the Bad Blood pay-per-view. Do you think
that match will work? Be a good gimmick, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe stick around a couple years?
Yeah, maybe they can get a couple things out of it. In Your House, Bad Blood. Now, for anybody that doesn't remember, the In Your House pay-per-view started out as a 2-hour gimmick so they can have it every other month that they didn't have one of the big pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And it was just basically, it was 2 hours. It was cheaper than the regular pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And it was fine. But around September of 97, they put it back to 3 hours. And they raised the price a little bit, made it like an exact, because they were trying to get rid of the In Your House name, even though it was technically still being called In Your House.
Yeah.
But it was going to go away eventually. I mean, they quit calling it. They finally quit calling the stuff In Your House by February of 99.
I like In Your House.
I think they're looked back fondly.
I did too.
I think they're looked back fondly by a lot of people.
They are. They did a lot of them. Only a few of them sucked.
Yeah. I think this is the way that Bruce said that Vince kind of explained it, is that they started giving the pay-per-views their own names because I think a lot of people just felt like the In Your House was filler pay-per-views, maybe.
Yeah.
And they were.
Well,
to an extent.
Because also too, they would advertise at the one in your house, like if they were going to do another in your house.
Yeah.
All right. So by example, all right. So let's say we're at the April 96 in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Vader finishes beating he finished beating Razor Ramon. And Vince McMahon would actually say, all right, next month at the next in your house, Yokozuna's taking on Vader. Or we're finally going to get Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Savio Vega at the next in your house.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going to be headline.
Right.
So they would advertise, they would make sure to advertise the stuff, because back around those times, and a lot of that stuff would actually just be announced really without any storyline buildup. They wouldn't start building it up until after the match was announced, because they really didn't feel like they
right.
had.
Yeah.
Because they're like, all right, we're just going to put these guys' names on the marquee and that's going to be it.
Well, that's like AEW has been doing that a lot lately, taking inspiration from that.
Yeah. Well, because they believe in giving the people something to want to tune into.
Yeah.
And that's something that WWE has finally gotten back into.
Yeah.
With, you know, NXT and Raw and SmackDown, they're finally saying, all right, well, next week we're going to have this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back there was a period from about, what, 2000 or 2001 to about probably 2014, 2015, where, just tune in to Raw, see what happens.
Yeah, because it was that anything can happen type.
Yeah. You didn't have to put anything on the marquee, which is stupid because you need to give people a reason to tune in.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to want to tune in at the beginning of Raw, especially around like 2013, 2014. Nobody's going to give a fuck about tuning in if they're just going to see Triple H and Stephanie cut a 20-minute promo
yeah.
at the beginning of the show.
Exactly. Especially during football season.
Right. You need a reason to tune in.
So a nice little kind of foreshadowing here. Shawn Michaels says that at Hell in a Cell, he's going to continue being one step ahead of everybody. Think that was a call for Kane showing up? Maybe he knew?
Maybe, because this wasn't the only time that he had used Kane. Because there was because when Kane first debuted, what he would do a lot of times is he would interfere in matches that were like scheduled.
Yeah.
Okay. And Shawn Michaels had been booked by Sergeant Slaughter because Shawn Michaels was trying to do a deal where he wasn't going to wrestle until Survivor Series, and he was being a degenerate. So, like, if Sergeant Slaughter said, you're going to get in the ring and wrestle, he'd be like, oh, fuck you. So he was scheduled to wrestle Flash Funk one night. It was like October 15th or something like that. Flash Funk comes out to the ring. King comes out, beats the shit out of Flash Funk, and then Shawn comes out and comes out, covers Flash Funk, and then Triple H counts to three. So maybe, like, they're trying to play that up, but
definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Next match, a very attractive young lady comes out by the name of Sunny. Would you say she's at her peak popularity here?
I think her popularity was actually going down at this point.
Is Sable already coming in or not yet?
Sable was there, and they were starting to market Sable more.
Okay.
They were starting to market Sable more because she was doing the commercials and all that. And here's the thing. If you look at the both of them,
yeah,
you have Sable, you have Sunny. I think Sable was 10 times hotter than Sunny.
I disagree, but that's not what this show is going to be about.
Okay. To me, Sable is one of those that, like, you take her home to mom, you introduce her, you propose and all that.
What?
like around this, I thought Sable was very attractive. I didn't think she was the you know what that people would reveal her as. So like back then, like I had this gigantic crush on Sable.
Okay.
And I thought she was attractive, and it's just like, oh, you know, I would date somebody like that. Sunny to me was one of those people back then that you meet her at a bar, you get her drunk, you take her home, you plop her, you give her $50, you give her $50 cab fare and send her on her way.
So the match, because she's basically coming out to, was this the first night together, her and the Legion of Doom?
No, she was just coming out as the ring announcer. They would bring her out just to ring announce.
Oh, yeah. Because
they really had nothing else for her, because they took her on, because she was at a time like the co-host of Livewire or something like that. She was with Todd.
Yeah.
And Cornette.
Yeah.
And then they realized they're just like, all right, well, Livewire, we don't need any of them, because they were trying to force Pettengill out.
Yeah.
Actually, by around this time, he was actually gone. Because they brought in, Lord help us, they brought in Michael Cole to replace him. So, like, they really didn't have much for her to do, so that's why they would always have her come out and just do ring announcements.
Yeah, I mean, she was the most downloaded lady in the world, though.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, she was popular.
Yeah.
She got pops.
Yeah. It's just around this time, getting, I mean, she, because she was also trying to transition more to ECW.
Yeah. But, so she comes out. We got Legion of Doom versus Nation members Farouk and Karma. In your opinion, Eric, would you say the Legion of Doom a little past their prime here?
Yeah. Yeah, I say no, but they were still kind of over because it was New York.
Yeah.
And they sort of got up top, of course, with the name recognition. But, yeah, they're past their prime. I mean, they still wanted to wrestle, but, yeah, I agree with that. They're past their prime. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd say they're more than past their prime here, to be honest. A great team, but this isn't the 80s anymore.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, Steve, I'm going to throw this to you. Karma's in this match.
Okay.
This man has gone by a lot of gimmicks, right? Karma,
right.
God, Papa Shango.
Right.
Am I missing any?
Right.
He was Soul Taker in GWF.
Okay, he was a Soul Taker. He was the Right to Censor. Which gimmick
do
you think was his best?
I think Papa Shango was his best gimmick.
I really thought so. Yeah, I agree. Papa Shango was a great
Papa
gimmick.
Shango, because Papa Shango was a lot cooler back in the old WWF days.
Yeah. Well, here's actually a story. You know, story time, kids.
Is this the WrestleMania thing?
No.
Okay.
When they brought him in for this,
yeah,
he was going to come back as Papa Shango.
Was he really?
Yeah. And they had it all set. He was going to come back as Papa Shango. I don't think he was going to join the Nation or anything. But he was going to come back as Papa Shango. But then they took another look at it, and this is around the time, too, where Vince Russo came in and started poisoning everything. And
right.
He basically said, no, let's, you know, because he had done the deal, too, with Kama the Supreme Fighting Machine. So then they changed it, and they're like, no, you're not going to come back as Papa Shango, but you are going to join the Nation.
Yeah. So you got this match, Legion of Doom, Farouk, and Kama. What are your thoughts, Eric? It's a short one.
It was an okay match. It gave it enough time for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a powerhouses going at each other. I did it in DQ. Not too much to go on here. By the way, just for our listeners, it's probably going to be a shorter episode because this is a Raw, not a pay-per-view.
Kenny's not here.
Yeah. Intercontinental title tournament semifinals here. Yeah. Owen Hart and Brian Pillman. Now, Brian Pillman comes out with Terry Runnels. You and me watched the In Your House about a month ago, right? A couple weeks ago.
And we didn't have time to fall asleep during this match because it was the first match on that card.
So I'll give the backstory on this, right? It was Dustin and Pillman. And they were
at that In Your House.
Yes. And if Pillman won, Harry would basically be like his slave for the next 30 days.
Yeah, and he actually advertised it too. I mean, you might as well just say it. Because they were starting to get edgy, he basically said, "She's going to be my sex slave."
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian Pillman did not fucking care. No. And he was already at around that time, him and his wife, Melanie, were actually in the middle of getting a divorce.
Well, he enticed a couple weeks after this, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks after this Raw, yeah.
Yeah.
He passed away. So he was already in the middle of getting a divorce, so I'm pretty sure he was basically just – his marriage was ending, so he was basically just going to have some fun. He may have known he was on borrowed time.
That's a theory, but it's definitely sad watching this, thinking that, you know, this is the last – maybe, you know, a couple weeks he's gone, you know?
Yeah.
You see Marlena –
Yeah, and Owen. Because Owen, obviously
– Owen had a couple more years.
See those two. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying that.
Yes, it's sad. Those two in the ring together. It is sad. He brings out Marlena, who's dressed like a hooker. And then that's playing up the whole thing like he owns her and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Him and Owen are both heels here.
Right. They're both members of the Hart Foundation.
Yes. And so they have a kind of a ditzy match. Owen wins, though, right?
By DQ because Goldust hit him first.
Okay. And then, you know, Pillman – or no, it wasn't Pillman. Austin comes in.
Well, right, and because this is when Owen was saying, I did it for you, Brett. I did it for you, brother, and I'm going to win the Intercontinental title back. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So Austin comes out, raises hell.
Right.
And then – they leave. Austin stays, right?
Yeah, Owen got the fuck out of there because the cops are getting ready to arrest Austin because, by the way, like I said earlier, there was a restraining order against him. Well, when you come up and punch the guy in the face, you're not necessarily 100 feet away from him. Unless you got a really long
shot.
Now, the thing about this chain of events is I don't know that anyone expected what comes next to be the most, you know, rewatch moment of Raw ever. Or at least one of them. Because Vince McMahon comes in.
Right.
Tries to calm Austin down. Doesn't work. Austin, Vince McMahon with the stunner for the first time.
But also, too, you got to remember the promo.
Yeah.
The promo, Vince basically telling Austin, please just work within the system, right?
Yeah.
And Austin basically goes... you're not the one sitting on your ass at the house like I am. But if that's what it takes to get me back in the ring, I'll be like Cool Hand Luke and I'll work within your stupid little system. And then he looks at McMahon and goes, I appreciate the fact that you and the World Wrestling Federation care. And I also the fact, hell, you can kiss my ass. And gives him the stunner, the worst goddamn stunner.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was.
Because he never had to.
Yeah.
The only other time he had been struck by a wrestler was when Roddy Piper cracked him in the head with a chair back in 1991, but all he had to do there was to sit there and play dead.
Yeah.
He didn't actually have to sell a move.
No. Stevie, your thoughts, what's the impact of this? I mean, this is the stunner on Vince. This is a big moment. What are your thoughts?
The impact is he got cupped for it. You know, that was I think that was a shock to Vince. And he got arrested for it.
Right, but like, what do you think is like the long term impact?
I think it starts the McMahon Austin rivalry. If you look at it,
yeah.
Yeah, I completely.
That's definitely the start of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's real. A lot of people say, "Oh, the Montreal Screwjob started the Mr. McMahon character." No, him getting kicked in the gut and fucking dropped.
Yeah.
By Austin started the Mr. McMahon character.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you cannot tame this motherfucker. And then, like, and then afterwards. When Jim Ross basically said, you know, because Austin had stunned JR already. He had stunned King.
Yeah.
Now he stuns Vince. He goes, JR's like, he stunned the owner of the company in Madison Square Garden, which is, he's like, that's the McMahon home.
Yeah.
Because it was their home arena.
Yeah.
And then he also, I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but he threw a dig at JR threw a dig at WCW at that, or after that, too. Because he said, all right, go on. He goes, we're not going to walk off and cry like other announcers would, because they did a deal, WCW did a deal like the week before Tony Schiavone walked off on the Nitro after Fall Brawl because of what happened and when Flair got his head slammed into the cage.
Oh, wow.
So Jim Ross took a shot at that.
Yeah. Now,
that's interesting.
Immediately following this is another big moment, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Usually the outro for most of our shows. Cactus Jack finally makes his debut in the WWF in Madison Square Garden. Right. They do the famous vignette with Mankind and Dude Love. Triple H is freaking out in the ring. Is this not perfect television?
Well, because, again, supposed to wrestle Dude Love. It was actually a rematch from One Night Only.
Yeah. Triple H won that one, right?
Yeah, which is why they were having a false count anywhere.
Okay.
So... but basically dude comes in and says, look, I'm a man of love. I can't do this false count anywhere deal. Mankind says, well, you know, it's my type of match, but there's somebody whose type of match it is more. Then they bring out Cactus and they say, Cactus Jack. And then everybody's going fucking batshit in the arena. Triple H is losing his fucking mind. Jim Ross is just, oh my God.
And the thing is, yes, ECW had a home in New York.
Yeah.
But Cactus Jack, you know, he was in WCW. It's a southern, you know, southern territory. And a lot of ECW stuff was in Philly.
Yeah.
So do you think it was a shock to a lot of people how big of a pop that got?
No, because ECW did have a home in the Hammerstein.
Yeah.
In the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, but not Madison Square Garden.
Right, but Hammerstein wasn't that far away from Madison Square Garden. So
yeah,
but
make it to New York.
Yeah.
It was a different crowd, though, at this point.
I don't think anybody... I think they thought it was going to get a good reaction. I just don't think they thought how good it was going to get.
Yeah. And it's cool
how they... I was deciding with that loud.
Yeah, I was. That's what I was saying. It was cool. It's cool
it
how
like 2018.
Yeah. It was cool how much they played up to his like other personalities too, because in all reality, he's just wearing a different outfit.
Yeah.
But Triple H is like making it like it's the biggest fucking deal. It's like, oh God, I gotta face Cactus Jack instead of dude.
All right. So basically they play it up as Mick Foley has multiple personality disorder, right?
Yeah.
And somebody with multiple personality disorder. It's not, it's, yes, it's the same guy, but it's different traits.
Yeah.
You have Dude Love, who basically he's you as a hippie. You know, God's gift to women, or he thinks he is. And you have Mankind, who has no problem, you know, who's self-mutilated and all that, and like a tormented and tortured soul. And you have Cactus Jack, who, you know, would have no problem killing somebody.
Yeah.
So Cactus Jack can go further than the rest of them.
Yeah. And we give Triple H a lot of shit on this show. Eric, I'm going to toss it to you. Do you think this is when he started to look like, okay, this guy has a big potential, you know, future?
Yeah, because they put him against this was a Paul Cowan anywhere, so and these two had great chemistry, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And a rivalry, so.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, if you think about it, though, and as weird as this is to say, I think Triple H had better matches with Cactus Jack than he did Dude Love or Mankind.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's weird to say because it's all the same fucking guy. But his matches with Cactus, I think, meant more.
Especially in the 2000s.
This one and in the 2000s. These meant more because Triple H would have to go where he didn't want to go. He would have to go places to where he's just like, nobody thought he would go there.
I think Foley does deserve some credit for bringing him to the dance.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
Not even just here, but in the 2000s, that's when Triple H really became Triple H.
Right.
And to me, that was partially because of his matches with Mick Foley.
Right. Oh, well, they built a whole network special about it.
Yeah. So definitely a great rivalry. Probably one of his best.
Yeah.
This ends with Cactus getting the 1-2-3.
I'll drive her through the table. China had been wiped out earlier. This is around a time, too, where, like, you know, China had just been kind of brought in. Or she had been around for a few months. She was, you know, Helmsley's bodyguard.
Yeah.
She was involved in shit she shouldn't have been involved in. And this is actually around the time, though, too, where, like, and I've said it before, but I'll say it even more now. Nobody could tell if China was a man or a woman because she wasn't as feminine here, or she was not feminine here whatsoever. She made herself look like a badass. It was like in 2000, 2001, where she finally started to show off that sex appeal that everybody, you know, that she showed everybody she had.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a very Attitude Era match here.
Yeah.
Beat the hell out of each other. A good match. You know, Cactus wins. I think that's the proper finish.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
They jump the Shawn Michaels calls out the Undertaker. He's got a steel chair with him. It's a setup. DX beats the hell out of him, but then when he gets up, they get the hell out of there.
Here's one of the – now, obviously, DX is Michaels, Helmsley, China, and Rick Rude.
Yes.
One thing that I think has to be pointed out, and if I'll get more into it also at the end, which is actually coming up, like, soon because it's the next segment after this.
Yeah.
Rick Rude at that time – and I've talked about this, I'm pretty sure, on this show before. Rick Rude had a Lloyd's of London insurance policy.
Yes.
Okay. And what that means is Rick Rude was not allowed to get in the ring because when you had that Lloyd's of London policy, you can't get touched. He had one. Mr. Perfect had one. And they were the two most notable ones because they had it while they were managers or seconds or whatever in the ring. And they could not get touched. They could not get hit. They could hit. And they could be pains in the ass and all that. And, like, jumping the Undertaker, when Undertaker gets up, Rude is the first one to fucking run away. Because, you know, around that time when you're getting jumped and when you're just getting up and you start swinging, you're not going to know who the fuck you're hitting. So you're going to end up hitting the guy that can't get touched.
Yeah. I think so many people forget Rick Rude was in DX, too.
Yeah. Because it is kind of forgettable. But, like, my thing is, too, is that, like, with Rick Rude should have just fucking stayed home. I hate it when guys – and Sami Zayn kind of had, like, the same thing, too, like, when he was mainly a manager. He would be that annoying boil on your butt at ringside. But, like, nobody would be able to get to him.
Yeah. All right. He can't get his upcomings because he's hurt.
Yeah. He couldn't get hurt. It's not that he didn't want to get hurt. It's just the fact that, you know, he couldn't because he was hurt. It's unlike this one wrestling show I went to this one time. Little small independent show that actually folded because the people running it are completely stupid. This fat guy had a pain in the ass of these two people that he was managing against for weeks. And he told me, I asked him, because he's a friend of mine, I asked him, I said, are you finally going to get your comeuppance? He goes, no. He goes, we have to build to that. I said, you've been a pain in their ass for 2 weeks. Let them take a shot at you. He goes, no, it's not going to happen. I said, all right, fine. So then during the match, there's going to be unexpected running because I'm going to come up from behind and I'm going to fucking hit you. And of course, he ran away unscathed. So, but luckily that company's out of business and we'll never have to hear from it again. Or lucky we'll never have to hear from the person again. But anyway, but like with Rick Rude, I never liked those Lloyd's of London policies. If you're hurt, stay home. You should not be allowed. I don't think people should be allowed at ringside that can't get beat up.
Except for the chicks that are allowed
to get beat up. Even them, like bring another girl to ringside that can beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying a guy should do it because I don't condone that. And porn, but
yeah,
good idea. But yeah, I mean,
right.
I'll get more into the whole Rude thing because something actually happens at the end of the show here.
Well, the end of the show is like right now.
Yeah.
So the Bret Hart Goldust non-title match, two babyfaces. Bret's kind of heel.
Yeah, well, Bret's a heel here because it's New York City.
Yes.
So, and New York City's not in Canada.
No.
At least not. Just in case anybody's keeping track.
He gets on the mic, talk shit about Shawn and Taker, obviously.
Well, yeah, because what we failed to mention, too, is this Hell in a Cell match that's going to happen. The winner gets the shot at Bret at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we know what happens there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So let's talk about the match. Stevie, what are your thoughts on the match? Bret Hart and Goldust.
Thought it was a great match. I was kind of hoping for the belt to be on the line, but I guess that wasn't the case.
Right.
I thought it was a good one.
Yeah. Well, there's no need for the belt to be on the line. Because, again, too, with the belt being on the line, you know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
There's a predictable thing. Because, you know, people aren't going to pay to see Shawn versus Goldust in Montreal.
No. They're going to want to pay to see Bret versus Shawn or Taker.
Right. Right. So there was no reason for with the belt not being on the line, that left more up to chance, especially with with the heartbreak fruitcake coming out to the entrance ramp and distracting Bret, or just being out there, you know, playing with himself and all that.
Yeah.
So that kind of left things up to, oh, maybe Goldust is going to get an upset win here. Because Pillman,
he didn't, though.
Right. But that was like the mentality of the whole thing, too. That's another reason why they didn't make it non-title. Because at one point you would think, okay, if Shawn's out here distracting him, maybe Goldust is going to get a win. But, you know, obviously it didn't happen. I mean, and Marlena and Pillman had already left the building.
Oh.
Eric, I know you're a fan of Shawn Michaels, so I'll give this one to Doug.
You think that's a good idea?
This is an hour and a half broadcast, right? Or 2 hours, technically.
Our show or this show?
This show.
The show that will...
Raw!
All right.
Yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Shawn Michaels comes out for 3 segments during this show. Do you think it's a little oversaturation at this point?
Yeah.
I mean, especially The Undertaker, and then the main event thing is back-to-back.
Right. Shawn Michaels was a camera whore. I mean, sorry to say that, Eric, but, I mean, you and I are filing for divorce anyway. But, Shawn Michaels, especially around this time, Shawn Michaels could not get away from the camera. That's why when he had that knee injury, air quotes, he was back on TV a month later, doing backflips off the top rope because he could not stay away from he could not stay off of TV.
Yeah. You like the attention, for sure.
You're not wrong.
So good match here, good match. Goldust loses.
We're solid, yeah.
You want to get to your Rick Rude thing?
Okay. So after the match, after the sharpshooter and all that, Shawn Michaels jumps Bret Hart from behind. And Triple H comes out, or Helmsley comes out, and they double team Bret. Then Owen comes out, and then Rick Rude comes out then. And then Davey Boy comes out. He's hobbled because he's selling the knee injury. Then Jim Neidhart, who technically was not with the company at that day, he had been fired for the 50th time, but then rehired, comes out, and he goes after Rick Rude, right? Well, Rude can't sell it.
Yeah.
So he just kind of pushes Neidhart off. And then Neidhart goes back after him to throw a shot, and Rude just kind of pushes him off and says no. And then Neidhart, not taking no for an answer, goes back and tries to get his hands around it. And you can see Rude just saying, go away. Like, Neidhart's not trying to hit him. He's trying to hit Rude. Like, the only person he wants to hit is Rick Rude. Now, the other three, Owen, Bret, and Davey, are not going anywhere near Rude because they know this guy's got a policy on him. And he can't be touched.
Yeah.
Neidhart doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's definitely not with the company.
So then, Undertaker comes out then, and then Undertaker hits everybody, obviously except for Rude, because he knows he can't.
Yeah.
And he double chokeslams Shawn and Bret to end the show.
That's a good way to end the show. I like it.
Great ending to a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of memorable moments here. A lot of good stuff. Is there anything anyone else wants to get into about this show?
A couple quick things about this show. Not necessarily. Well, yeah, kind of about this show. Like, kind of rewinding back to the whole Pillman thing.
Yeah.
Around this time, you know, back when I was watching this, I didn't agree with this whole storyline. because I didn't think it was right.
Yeah.
Especially knowing the fact that, you know, they had a Goldust and Terry had a 3-year-old.
Yeah. And they were legitimately having problems.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were having problems around this time, but this was a Russo idea. Well, no, it was a Pillman idea.
Yeah.
It was a Pillman idea that he got Russo to back in. Because I seriously think Brian Pillman knew, because Brian Pillman didn't give a shit. He was having marriage problems of his own.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think he was also, he knew he was on borrowed time. What was actually not necessarily funny, but when he, the day he died, because I was only like 11 and didn't know better, I thought Goldust actually killed him.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't blame him.
I think that was a story going around, wasn't it?
It may have been, because I know when Terry was a makeup lady for WCW, because that's actually how, for years, she was WCW's makeup director.
Yeah.
Okay. And when she was the makeup director, she found herself flirting with a lot of the guys. Pillman being one of them, Dustin being another.
Yeah.
Terry Taylor, you know, a lot of those guys. Z-Man. And she was the makeup director for a long time. And then that obviously her and Dustin met, got married, and then Dusty actually fired her.
Yeah.
Dusty fired her as makeup lady, or as the makeup director, or fashion director, or whatever the fuck the title was. Because Dustin had to cancel a golf outing that him and Dusty were going to have because Terry was sick. This is a story going, because this is the way Dustin told the story.
Yeah.
This is coming from Dustin's mouth. I'm not making it up. So Dusty,
wow,
to get better, or Dusty, because he's not happy because his son couldn't go golfing with him, fired his daughter-in-law.
See it, bitch.
But like that, and then obviously, you know, with Bad Blood coming up here.
Yeah.
One of the things also, too, that we have to mention, like, the Intercontinental Tournament.
Yeah.
Farouk advanced in the Intercontinental title tournament by losing.
Well, yeah, because they said that Ken Shamrock punctured his lung or something.
Right? Yeah, he had internal injuries, which they said came from Farouk, but it actually, he got him in Japan wrestling Vader. Vader beat the shit out of him in Japan. But they couldn't talk about that on TV because both guys were baby faces. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the way it was back then. Because, again, kayfabe was still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No internet, so.
Well, no, there was internet. It was just harder to get to because America Online was shitty.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about AOL.
I was going to say, is AOL even, like, anybody's email address anymore?
No. Either Google or Yahoo. For most.
All right, guys. That was our Raw episode, 92, 97. Yes.
Good year. Great show.
That's about it, right?
Unless anybody else has any questions or comments about this thing.
I think we're good.
I do.
You have a question?
No, I just want to say that this Raw leads up to all these storylines that will develop later on in the last couple months, towards the end of the year. As we all know, we might get all screwed up.
Right. I mean, and Hell in a Cell.
Which I think we should do
Montreal sometime. And don't forget a lot of the other, like, underground storylines, too.
Yeah.
Including the makeup of
exactly.
Dustin.
Yeah. There's a lot going
on. And the film in. And...
Yeah. Stevie, you got anything else you want to add or ask about this?
Not really. It's just that in that era, Raw was, like, worth watching, you know?
Yeah.
agree.
Yeah.
Worth watching, especially in the with the Monday Night Wars, and if there was something going on in WCW that you didn't like, you would just flip it over to Raw.
Yeah.
Because it was very rare that both channels had shit.
Yeah.
At least one segment was always good, and that's one of the reasons why Raw was pre-taped every other week, is so they could figure out, you know, what the fuck do we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, Nitro would actually do that, not Raw. Because then, like, somehow somebody would get a hold of the spoilers.
Yeah.
And be like, all right, this is what we got to run against this. But the issue is that now that WWF was not revolved around cartoon characters, you know, they actually had more of a watchable product that adults could get into.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't boring.
All right, we will see you all next week on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast and this Sunday on the Top Tier Podcast.
Right. Again, so everybody remembers, so they can mark it down in their calendars. Next Friday night, 8:00 Eastern Time, is going to be the episode where we review the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500. So Stevie, you're more than welcome to be on for that because we are going to have special guests.
Yeah, I'll come on.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Sam Hughes will be on. Rod Price will be on. Scott Casey will be on. And they're basically they're going to be on because, you know, we're going to obviously review this thing. We're going to give our thoughts,
yeah,
which nobody really gives a shit about. And we're basically going to get the thoughts of these three legends. As to what they think about the current product, how they feel about these guys being ranked. We'll ask them a little bit about their history with the PWI 500. Which I'm pretty sure Rod Price and Sam Houston have been ranked on it quite a few times. I don't know about Scott Casey because I think he retired before they started doing the ranking system.
Yeah.
But it'll be...
I have to look it up.
Huh?
No, I said I'm going to do some research and see where they rank.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to buy the magazine. The magazine will hit newsstands on September 22nd, which is actually going to be on Tuesday.
And that's the anniversary of the show.
Exactly. So.
How ironic.
Follow along with us. Go out and buy the magazine. Just don't ask me to borrow the money to buy the magazine. Well, you're giving me money so I can go buy it for you.
Yeah. I still owe you $10 to keep forgetting.
So that's coming up next week. That's going to be fun. And, you know, something to look forward to.
Cool. This was the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Stevie,
yep.
Doug, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for having us. And we will see
thank
everybody.
You, Daniel.
You're welcome, Eric. Have a good one, guys.
Yep.
Bye.
Here, everybody.